As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." To keep the word of God is to hide within the word. The woman in the crowd thought that faithfulness to God is to serve God, to serve Jesus. And so she uplifts the mother of our Lord for her childbearing and her nursing. St. Mary is to be revered, though, for the hearing of the word by the angel Gabriel, and then bearing the eternal word in her flesh. For Jesus, we and all the saints are to be revered for the same reason. We have heard the word of God spoken by apostles and prophets in our ears, and then we keep it near and dear to us. We clothe ourselves in Jesus and treasure him in our hearts by faith. The most effective help against the devil, the world, and all evil thoughts, according to Luther, is to be occupied with God's word, to speak it, and to meditate on it. The sweet smell of Christ's sacrifice is the only effective repellent against the devil and his wiles and his ways. Jesus defends us from our mortal foes when he continually speaks his word and then grants us faith to cherish it. He makes our bodies a dwelling place, just as this sanctuary is a home for God's word for this congregation. And that's why in today's gospel, Jesus casts out the demon. Demons cannot dwell in a body home that God has reserved for his son. By nature, this home, though, is born a dwelling place for the devil, your body. Only by the stronger man's finger is the evil one cast out. Holy baptism exorcises the devil and all his angels, and the strong name of the Trinity takes up its residence in you. And where the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is given, there the Godhead dwells by faith. But what of the homes exorcised of the devil in holy baptism and then left empty, not given faith, nurtured, filled by the Spirit? What of those who have been baptized but then only infrequently, reluctantly, or never hear the word, receive the forgiveness of their sins, eat and drink Christ's body and blood? What of those whose body home has been freed of captivity, swept and cleaned? These empty homes need Jesus. He tells us in the gospel, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finding none, it says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Jesus is telling about those who have been saved through water and then stop receiving the Holy Spirit. As St. Peter said it, to paraphrase, better never to be a Christian than to reject the faith once given. 2 Peter 2. They are the house that is cleared of demonic possession, but then left without Christ's continual filling of the home by his Spirit. And what is a vacant home but an invitation to the devil's host to return, and then with more evil than before? We confess that God will punish those who deliberately turn away from the holy commandment and involve themselves again in the filth of this world, who prepare their hearts for Satan again, who outrage the Holy Spirit, and that he would harden, blind, and ever damn them if they continue therein. This is God's work, but his alien work, even allowing people to fall back into blindness, hardness of heart, or even under demonic power, is not to damn them eternally. That's not his purpose. It's that they would receive again Jesus, grace, to repent and believe in him. When we experience this sort of spiritual blindness, hardness of heart, even the demonic, it's God calling us again to repentance. When we struggle against our flesh, this is a call to confess our sins, by which God again crucifies our flesh and makes us alive by his Spirit, casts out the demons. When the devil rages and torments us like a roaring lion, this is a call again to dwell richly by the word, which we confess can quench all his fiery darts. When the world seeks to pollute your flesh, to pollute his holy church, it's only God's word that is our true defense and our shield. There is no middle ground in the battle between God and devil, between flesh and spirit, between church and the world. We'd like to think that we could straddle this fence, play both sides, dabble with our mortal enemies as mostly harmless. But 2 weeks ago, we learned from the gospel that Jesus shows no capitulation to the devil. He warred against the evil foe in the wilderness and won. None of the evil one's three temptations were reasonable or faithful. At every turn, the chief of liars deceived, cajoled, and baited to choose the wrong side in a losing battle. But at every temptation, our Lord turned the devil away by the word of God and thereby defeated him. When it comes to that battle between God and Satan, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So Jesus said. Of course, this is no surprise to us. We have the law given to us by Moses, and God commanded of us that we have no other gods, and that we hallow the name of the Holy Trinity only, and that we worship him only in spirit and truth, that we wouldn't play both sides. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and him only shall you serve." But even with this command, maybe even despite of it, we flirt with other gods, with idols. Maybe we call upon the name of our favorite guru or president, or even some kind of mock savior for help. Our worship and prayers fail and falter. If God were to look at us as some kind of spiritual warrior, we'd probably look more like Barney Fife than a Navy SEAL, bumbling, idiotic, and often mistaken. And there is no middle ground. There's no picking or choosing, no neutrality. You cannot say, "There is my victor Jesus," and then deny his gift of holy baptism. You cannot call Jesus your only Lord and then deny his forgiveness and deny forgiving others. You cannot live in Jesus if you fail to receive his life-giving body and blood. There is no such thing as a Christian who doesn't receive Christ in the Holy Scriptures and the blessed sacraments. Either you're with him in his word and you receive him by his instituted means, or you're against him, refusing to receive his life-giving word and scattering your faith into the wind. But it's a difficult battle. We wage that war each day, flesh against spirit, God against devil, world against church. But thanks be to God that the battle is not up to us, not up to our spiritual stamina and strength. For God is faithful, and he will do it. He saves us even without our reason or strength. And then he gives us faith to trust that Jesus' death is enough to satisfy God's wrath. The battle is already won. The victory is done. Christ has triumphed over the devil and every idol and gives us this victory in his body and blood. That is to say, our victory over Satan doesn't come by our striving to win, but rather by receiving the spoils in Christ. He is the stronger man who binds the strong man. Jesus is the finger of God whose mighty touch casts out demons, cleanses iniquity, even raises the dead. That's what Jesus does. He casts out Satan's demonic hold through holy baptism, out unclean spirit, and make way for the Holy Spirit. He waters the parched desert of our hearts with his living water, making them fruitful again. As we are wandering pilgrims, journeying through the valley of the shadow of death, he there comes to us and nourishes us with bread from heaven and sustenance of his word. As we constantly stumble and fall on this journey, he rescues us from the pit in holy absolution. Even when we go astray and give ourselves inflicted wounds that need healing, he comes to us with the medicine of immortality, his body and blood to eat and to drink. By all these means, he comes to us and he dwells with us, casts out Satan from our midst. So blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.